Wolves win. So you're telling me there's a chance. Sportscast.
Listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Oh man, I'm so hyped right now.
I feel hype.
Can you?
I feel hype.
What a difference a week makes for the Northeast Podcast. Last week, I couldn't even get in the front door of Jim's house because of the snow. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. I'm in shorts. It's incredible.
You are in shorts.
Rocking shorts.
Didn't even notice. Eric's in bright pink pants.
Yeah, I went for it today.
Just to give everyone a visual.
Jimbo, I mean, he might call them like faded salmon or something, but you know.
Let's not do that.
They're pink.
Yeah.
I like them.
Jim still didn't get, you didn't get the bucket out yet with the, you still got the red flannel on.
Yeah.
You gotta get the summer bucket out of the storage room and migrate the clothes there.
And yeah, work it in.
Yeah.
This is a total Minnesotan thing to do. You just never trust that winter's actually gone.
That's true.
Maybe so when do you bring out the tote?
Yeah.
June 4th.
After 3 hot weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. Of jeans.
All right, guys. We'll jump right into a sports cast. But first, give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. Also, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, Overcast, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts.
Also, did you guys know that you can watch us do these podcasts on Facebook Live for pure listeners?
If you want,
they probably
see,
don't know that.
If you want to see the salmon pants live,
right?
Tune in to Facebook.
In I'll living stand color. Up. Yeah, you should.
I think I'm gonna have to stand up.
You should demonstrate what they can do,
or just throw your leg up on the counter for the duration.
All right, guys, we have a beer that we're excited to try. It's a new one from Inbound. What are we drinking, guys?
So Inbound is doing their thing. If you guys remember Inbound, what was Inbound used to be?
Lucid, I think.
Lucid, right? Okay, so they still are Lucid and they're Inbound. It's a little confusing. But I think in order to have 2 tap rooms, you'd have to make a different company. So I think that's what they did. So yeah, this is Inbound. This is the Super G Love Shake. It's a milkshake IPA. It's pretty fucking tasty. Their branding, by the way, it's just excellent.
So much better.
It's really, really good.
Have you seen their...
It's kind of like a 60s vibe.
Have you seen their...
Like Wonder Bread looking...
Crowlers?
Yeah.
They sell the crowlers and they have like the striped crowlers.
Yeah, and that's kind of going with their industrial vibe. Like they're kind of like, you know, factory work looking, safety warning, whatever.
Shout out to Inbound too. Last weekend during the snowpocalypse of April... they were one of the few tap rooms I saw on Twitter that said, we are open. A lot of places shut down. They did not. So props to them.
I went to Fair State the day of the blizzard, and it was packed. Fucking packed. People got out.
I went to Dangerous Man, and that was a mistake. Not to ever go to Dangerous Man, but just to be out in my car.
Mm-hmm. But you had to get the pod beer.
Yeah, had to get beer. Had to get stuff for us to drink. So, yeah, it says this one is made with super... Galena hops. Probably said that really wrong. Mm-hmm. That's where you got the
sounded wrong, but
the Super G.
I mean, that didn't even sound correct.
So,
and also, it's made with orange and vanilla, and I can really taste both of those things.
Yep. Yeah, I really like it. You know, it's not as crazy. It's very flavorful, but it's not as crazy hazy or thick mouthfeel.
It's not as shaky.
Yeah, it's not as shaky in that regard, but really tasty.
I'm really excited about it because
how strong is this shit?
How many different breweries right now are canning their milkshakes?
None.
I mean, there's crowlers of them,
right?
I can't think of a single brewery that's canning them like this. So it was really exciting to see them on the shelf the other day. So great work, Inbound. One thing I've noticed about Inbound though, this is great. I mean, this isn't a complaint, but they fill their cans and their crowlers 100%.
Okay, they're too full.
They're all the way full. Like you open them up and it's like there was too much in there.
All right. Well, they should note that because that's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Well, as long as they don't hear this and then start doing like the Frito-Lay's bag of chips where it's like a full can, but it's only 70% full.
like the crawlers. Hey, and you know what? I'm sure that they're saying, let's give our customers every last drop. But they're packing it in there.
Or all they're right. wasting a bunch of beer because they're filling it to the top and it's spilling over going down yeah. the canning line.
Yeah, they're spraying that shit down.
Yeah, so if you have never had a milkshake IPA, I think this was only, what, $9.99?
Yeah, it wasn't four-pack. Crazy expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
A really good price point. It was refreshing to see the only three digits up there.
I know, dude. I'm getting a little bit sick of these $16 four-packs. Yeah. Like, dude.
So I think they kind of knocked it out of the park with this one. Great price, good beer, and it's a good intro to milkshake IPAs for everyone who hasn't had them yet or can't yeah. afford the $8 crawlers of them.
Yeah, yep, and I agree. Based on what you said, you're like, it's not as hazy, it's not as milkshakey, and then what you just said, this is a perfect way to wade into the waters kind of slowly and see if you really like sort of that taste. It's really good. It's subtle enough that it's there, but it's also not overpowering. I really like this beer.
And after you go get the inbound, definitely make your way over to Dangerous Man. And I think the one they have right now in their store, in their crawler and growler shop is a strawberry pineapple milkshake.
Hell yeah.
I got it the other day. Fantastic. It was awesome.
Dude, I think they're still the kings of these milkshakes, right?
Oh, definitely. Okay. And then Junkyard up in Moorhead.
Yep.
They're also doing it big, and they do the Shake-O-Matics. If you can buy a crawler of that, get it. It's like $8 for a crawler. It's totally worth it. Two beers, $4 a piece. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Coming all the way from Moorhead, you need to give it a try.
Funny story, side note about Junkyard. They released their, they have been setting out crawlers of their peanut butter porter or peanut butter.
It's Peanut Butter Bandit.
That one.
Porter, yeah.
I stopped in at France 44 on the way home from work on Friday, and a guy walked up to one of the employees sort of near where I was staying. He's like, hey, I see it's crossed off on the board because they have a chalkboard there that tells you all their new releases they have. He's like, you don't happen to have any, you know, in the back for employees? And the guy said, when we opened up this morning, there were about 15 people outside waiting for the Junkyard beer.
Dude, it's crazy. It's crazy. Demand, yeah.
I know.
I've never heard of that.
France 44
is the place that has that happen to.
I was at Certix. I did see the Peanut Butter Bandit, and now I feel really stupid that I didn't get it.
I grabbed a crawler of it today, and I grabbed their like Mosaic Experimental IPA instead of the Peanut Butter Bandit. But that's good too. Maybe we'll drink that later.
Awesome. All right. Well, guys, it is time to jump into some sports talk. This is a sports cast. It's not a beer cast. Lots to talk about. I think this is the most exciting month of the year for sports. We just got through March Madness. We're a couple months removed from the NFL. We're kind of getting hungry for the NFL to come back.
Draft coming.
The NFL draft. Baseball season starts up, you know, even though they're playing in the snow. You have the NBA playoffs.
I love more than ever.
The NHL playoffs.
Which I don't care about at all. But that's cool.
It's just exciting, though. I mean, there's just something for everyone. There's so many different sports going on, and it's a great time to be a sports fan. The weather's getting better, and there's more sports to watch, so stay inside.
Right, exactly.
it's such a great time of year. Like you said, the March Madness, and then there's like the lead up to the NBA playoffs, like who's in, who's out, and we were definitely on the cusp of that, so that was exciting.
All those games were must watch.
Exciting and terrifying, all in, obviously, it's a Minnesota team, so why wouldn't it be both?
Mm-hmm. Could have been easy.
And then one day, we're just going to fall off a cliff, and it's just going to be baseball for like 2 months.
And that's the worst.
Which I love, but I get it. It's the dog days of summer for sports until training camp hits.
Can I just mention that my Liverpool Reds are also in a major, major position to play some big games and possibly make it to the finals?
Yeah,
are you guys going to come to Brits with me?
Is it during the week?
If they make it. It's on Saturday.
Yeah,
it's
Memorial. Saturday?
It's like 27.
Absolutely. I watch that game. The Champions League final, I'll watch it no matter what teams are in it.
Right.
Roma, Real Madrid, I'll be watching it. Liverpool, Bayern Munich, I'll be watching it. It doesn't matter. I love it. It's the Super Bowl of soccer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's on Fox. It's like one of the only games Fox has. And every year, it's a really exciting, fun game. So,
all right, so we'll be there then.
I'll be there, even if Liverpool's not.
Right. Which, come on, man. They're two games away. Playing Roma, they got a chance.
They definitely have a chance.
Vegas thinks they have like a 2-1 chance versus Roma with an 8-1. So, I mean, I think they're picked to win. We'll see what happens. But
all right. So, a lot of things going on. We can jump into some soccer talk later. But I do have to say a bit of news. My beloved Arsenal Gunners and their long-serving coach, Arsene Wenger, 22 years at the helm, is stepping down at the end of the season. Something I've been calling for. Gooners all across the world have been calling for him to step down. The game has passed him by. But when the moment came, it was bittersweet.
Right.
It was a little sad. He has been there forever, almost as long as my life, and it's going to be a little bit of a bummer to be much better next year without him.
Yeah. He finally, you know, metaphorically zipped up that jacket he's been trying to get. For
I sent you guys a text really early.
I know. I was like, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And
I had waited an hour at that point. So exciting stuff.
So you're feeling, I mean, it's a pillar of the organization, right? I mean, he's been there for 22 years.
And but he got you like seven titles or something?
No, he got us like seven trophies maybe. Oh. He got us two titles, maybe three. He got us a few FA Cups. He got us
FA Cups, but not a league title since, what, 04?
Yeah.
Been a while.
It's been a long time. And their best finish in the Champions League, they were beating Barcelona with 13 minutes to go. And they got a sketchy red card and then gave up two ugly goals and blew it.
Were you watching at that time?
No.
Okay.
No. That was like when I was in like eighth grade.
Right.
So, no.
So, 2013?
All right. Let's move on to the biggest story, though. And that's the Minnesota Timberwolves hosting their first playoff game and beating number one seed Houston Rockets.
Handily.
You were there. Jimmy Channels, you were there.
Dude, it was wild. It was everything I could have hoped for. I'm still on cloud nine from it. A little bit hungover, but feeling good, feeling strong. Strong enough to pod. It was a great time. The stadium, or you know, the arena looks beautiful. It was live and lit. It was lit, like the kids say. It was a great time. And we played really, really well. Like, it was like the previous two games just never happened. Unfortunately, they did.
No, unfortunately, they most definitely did. But the big thing was for the third straight game, the Rockets didn't shoot well. Mm-hmm. Even in their victories, they haven't shot the ball all that well.
Everybody except for Ryan Anderson, who doesn't miss from three, apparently.
Yeah.
He was draining every shot that he took. But yeah, other than that, Harden's been kind of a no-show two out of the three games. He dropped the 40 bomb on us, you know, in game one. Or was it game two? It was game one. And that was the only reason they won. But other than that, he's been, I would say, below average
for
his
sure.
standards. I don't know if it's anything special defensively the Wolves are doing, but he just wasn't getting to his spots that he wanted. He was still getting the dumb foul calls that he gets a lot and getting to the free throw line. That's the only reason his score line even looks remotely healthy.
Yeah.
But I think overall the Wolves played an exceptional team game. Last night it was fun to watch on TV. Obviously, you know, we're not high rollers like Jimmy Channels over here getting into playoff games.
It's all about priorities, my friend. I made it a priority.
No, but it was, I think, obviously not being there, but like the crowd looked electric on TV. They looked into it. They were cheering and getting loud at all the right times.
Dude, they have like POS and Sims do a lot of hype videos, like that they only show in the arena. And they're sweet. They're like really good production. And dude, it's just awesome to see. It'd be funny to have like a Houston guy in town and be like, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
They keep popping up. But yeah, they get the crowd going.
It was fun to watch.
Now, one thing I did think was strange about this win was that Karl Anthony Towns was fourth on the team in field goal attempts, and Andrew Wiggins was fifth.
Yeah, that's weird. But Andrew Wiggins had such a good game.
Wiggins played really well.
Efficient.
He was 7 of 11. He was 4 of 6 on threes. He had 20 points. He had a really nice game.
Yeah.
It was a really efficient.
He's getting some rebounds. And
it was an efficient performance from him. And I think, honestly, if he is going to rejuvenate his career, even though he's still very young, and he's going to become even a portion of the player we thought he could.
We paid him as.
It's going to be as an off-ball secondary scorer. And that's what he did yesterday. He was not the focal point. He wasn't having the ball in his hands too much. He was on the backside of the play a lot.
Yeah, but he'd get it kicked out, and he
and
was
he
making
was getting a ton of opportunities.
He's just not. He did make 4 of 6, you said, from three?
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. But he doesn't usually do that. So really adding a three to his game would be incredible.
And not only that, he also wasn't settling for a lot of those 20-footers. And he
Which
was
I hate.
He was, yeah, he was taking it to the rim when it was given to him. And then he was like if that got shut down, he was smartly giving up the ball. He didn't do a lot of forced shots. He didn't do like the hero fadeaway to his left just inside the three-point line. There wasn't a lot of that last night. So it was refreshing to see him sort of take what was given to him and be aggressive. We haven't seen aggressive Andrew for a while. And it was awesome to see the potential. And like you said, Eric, as the third wheel, but just give a lot more effort like that, and you'd be phenomenal. Like, have if he would played like that night in and night out, the Wolves would have been the three seed.
Yes.
Like throughout the season. And yes. And it's frustrating because we saw a lot of the sloughing off and the not even trying on defense. And then last night he just turned the switch on and like, dude, keep that switch on because yeah. You're amazing when you
he
have it.
He needs weird motivators, like an average game, you know, a game at the Mavericks on a fucking Tuesday in the middle of the
couldn't
season.
Couldn't care less.
He is so checked out. You know, he needs like, it's crazy. You know, most players will have some kind of motivation against a previous team or whatever, but he plays great against Toronto because he's Canadian. He plays great against the Cavs because they drafted him and traded him.
Right.
So he's got a grudge there.
Yep.
And like, there's like one other team he has some personal reason to play well against. Or like, I guess it's LA teams because I think he wants to be a star.
Oh, okay.
So like, his stats are just excellent in those games. And then pretty damn below average usually.
So here's my biggest concern going into game four. The Timberwolves shot a completely and totally unsustainable 56% on threes.
Yeah.
That won't happen again. That won't happen again for the rest of the series.
And we made the same amount of threes, I think, as the Rockets, or maybe they had one more than us.
No, we made the same.
The same amount, which is, again, that's not going to happen.
We were 15 of 27, and they were 15 of 41.
Oh,
and
that's
just not going to happen again.
It's not, but honestly, we just got to keep shooting them. I mean, that's like the only way to beat these guys.
The Rockets also, as a team, only shot 46%. The Wolves shot 50%. They only shot 64% from the free throw line. This was a perfect storm for the Wolves to go in and blow out the Rockets, and they did. They took care of business just the way that they needed to.
Well, and it got a little dicey, like 10-9-point lead with about three and a half, I think, left, and you're just thinking they made a three, then Harden gets an and one, and you're like, oh, God, here we go. But then the Wolves came right back down, hit some big shots, Wiggins hit a three.
Three-point play, three. Yep. Nine straight points and blew the game open.
That's when I was starting to believe.
Yeah, and like I think Teague hit one, maybe Gorgie hit one, and we're just like, okay, well, maybe we
Gorgie
don't...
Gorgie can shoot, by the way.
We don't care about the moment anymore, and I hope that they play sort of with that we have nothing to lose mentality. Just be confident and play well. And you could definitely see it in the overall play of the Wolves last night.
I think the big moments of the game were, like you said, with Gorgie, early fourth, he had the big three, and then he had the steal to the dunk.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a huge, huge, huge moment of the game. And then, like I said, they had the nine straight points. You had a Teague three-point play. You had a Jimmy Butler three, and I believe you had a Teague three after that.
Yeah.
And that blew the game to 18 points. It was over at that point. They pulled a bunch of their starters.
Empty the benches, yeah.
And it was done. So, yeah, they rose to the challenge, and it was the first playoff home game that they've had. I believe that they've had over 130 players play since the last time that they were in the playoffs.
Ouch.
That was a Jim Pete stat yesterday.
That's good. You know, I got to say, I love going to the games, but I do miss the Jim Pete.
You're not
going to
be the guy with like
the AM
radio?
I just watch the game and I'm like, I know what Jim Pete's talking about right now. I know what angle of this play he's coming at.
You got to be the guy with the radio clipped to your belt, the little FM radio with the one ear.
If I had season tickets, I would work up a system like that.
You'd have to.
Maybe someday.
All right, guys. So I don't want to bring it to a too negative of a place. Because coming off a huge win, it's really exciting. At least they're going to make it a respectable series, it looks like, at this point.
Getting swept is not winning a game, even if that's all there is huge, I think.
But I have
it's
to say,
the experience
there, as a big Wolves fan, there's one thing that has me a little worried, and that is Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
He looks to be so have been a little bit exposed here in the playoffs, and that is alarming to me. I have been thinking of him and talking about him as if he is a fringe top 10 player and a future top 5 player. And I think that's where he should end up.
Mm-hmm.
And the pressure of the playoffs, the tightening up of the defense, going against a tough matchup like Clint Capella and a good team like the Rockets, and he's been exposed here.
Well, they also, I think they...
In this series, in this particular, I mean, it's three games, no matter what, it's... They're important games. but it's not some kind of microcosm for his entire
the three outlook. Biggest games of his career, and he is averaging 10.3 points
sure.
a game.
And for sure, you cannot take away from the fact that he has played less than stellar. I think the Rockets are literally scheming like you would do in a football playoff game to say, we're going to take away your best receiver, and we don't care who else gets theirs.
He's getting doubled because they can do that because we don't shoot three-pointers.
They're going to make everyone else beat us, and they're going to live with that. And I think, you know, Towns has not quite found a way to get open. If you look at all the other guys that have had success, they've already been in the playoffs. They already know what this is like. Towns is facing this for the first time, and I can't blame him for being still a young guy, still inexperienced in these type of big moments, playing against the number one seed team. It sucks, but imagine if he figures it out for a couple games. We might, and everyone else still stays at their level. Hopefully Derrick Rose plays a few less minutes, but other than that, I think this team has a fighting chance to win again on tomorrow, on Monday when you're listening to this. And then, I mean, who knows? You could steal a road game. We could have easily stolen game one. If they continued to shoot poorly, you never know. So if Towns can up his game just a little bit, maybe give us 20, it's a whole different ball game.
I mean, I still think that there's a 7% chance they continue on.
Yeah, it's not that I'm ripping Towns or I think he's a terrible player, but it's just you're seeing Giannis in his first playoffs, and he's averaging over 30 a game.
Ben Simmons.
And you see, yeah, Ben Simmons, he's killing it. And then you see Towns, he's averaging
Mitchell.
10 points a game.
I mean, true rookies are killing it. Yeah. And Towns, this is his third year.
To me, it seems a little disheartening.
Bigs versus guards a little bit, though, too. But so I'm trying to give Towns the benefit of the doubt.
Which I appreciate. Little bit.
I still love Towns. I'm not trying to rip him.
So Eric hates Towns. Yeah. You heard it here first. He said Towns is terrible. Trade him. No, you're right. I'm just trying to see, like, glasses half full. I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate.
I agree.
Looking at the stat line, it looks bad, but they're intentionally not letting him get anything for any reason. So maybe now that we made a bunch, they'll over-adjust a little bit, and they'll open things up down low for him.
I think he has a good game on Monday.
All right, guys. I'm going
to that, by the way.
Let's embarrass ourselves here with our predictions for the rest of the series.
I'm sticking with mine original, which was 4-2, Houston.
That was your original?
Yeah.
I still think probably the best chance is that it's 5-1 or 4-1.
4-1?
Yeah.
You still think they'll lose the next two?
Yeah. I mean, I do, just because I'm like a numbers guy. And yes, we've played them, what now, 7 times this season, and they've beat us 6 of them. So, I mean, yeah, they're the favorites to win. The Vegas will still have them as a favorite to win on Monday. And then you go back there, and that's tough. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to get another game. Because then they have to come back here again, and then I probably have to go to another game, but we'll see.
I will go with Houston in 5. I think Houston puts it on us two times here.
Yeah, they're going to make some adjustments.
They'll make some big adjustments, and I think that the Wolves were playing a game that they were not going to lose. One where they hadn't been at a home playoff game. That place hasn't been rocking like that since KG was there, and it was an unlosable game for the Timberwolves. I think they'll come back down to earth in the next game, lose a close one before probably getting blown out in game 5. But, hey, a week from now when the Wolves win the series, I will look like an idiot. So,
hey, man, you won't look like an idiot. That's just...
If anything, Eric's predictions help the Timberwolves because you're not very good at that on the podcast. So,
yeah, so
he wrote off the Vikings. Who else did you write off? You wrote off a couple teams.
We wrote off the Wild for making the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
Of course, they might.
The Vikings was my worst one. After Dalvin Cook went out, I didn't even enjoy the rest of the Lions game that we were in the whole time and thought we were done.
Well, we had just suffered through the previous season, so it stands to reason why you felt that way.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to that team. The Minnesota Vikings, one of the most exciting days in sports when the NFL schedule is released. Vikings schedule is released. We'll go through the games. We're not going to take a bunch of time on each game, but the schedule did come out. I think one big surprise, we all thought that they were going to open the season on Thursday night at Philadelphia.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from.
That's not happening anymore.
People just ran with that.
I think what happens is, like, maybe that was an early iteration of the schedule, and they were like, "This, we got to open up with Philly and Minnesota. It's going to be awesome." And then when you actually start, like, figuring out who's got availability and really, like, crunching the algorithm for the scheduling, it may have just changed, you know, at the 13th hour, and they just said, "Yeah, we can't really make that work."
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
A really boring opening game.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'd rather play the 49ers, I think, than the Eagles.
For sure.
So let's go through the schedule quickly.
Let's do it.
We'll pick our records for the team based on our lack of knowledge of the team. Free agency not done. Draft hasn't happened. Training camp hasn't happened. We have no idea what will happen.
Preliminary. Okay.
We're just going to move on.
We're going to talk about them.
Everyone is going to keep track of their own. Sports. Everyone keep track of your own record. Game one, they open the season at U.S. Bank Stadium against the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's a Vikings win. Absolutely, for sure, lock. Kirk Cousins' first game with the Vikings at home.
Jimmy Guap, though?
Everyone's going to jump way too hard on this Niners team.
Oh, the Niners, people, they're the proverbial sexy pick, you know, to...
Guap?
They're going to the NFC Championship.
All five games to victory.
I think that the Niners are going to make a massive jump to being like 9-7.
Okay.
And they're 2 years away from being the team that people are talking about them being.
Garoppolo he's never seen a pass rush like that's going to hit him with the fresh Vikings players in a loud ass stadium like that opening weekend. He's not going to know what hit him.
He might poop.
All three Vikes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Week two at Green Bay Packers. Haven't been to Green Bay in September since Aaron Rodgers' first game, I believe. I think the Vikings win that because the Packers suck.
Yeah. The
Packers are not good. They have Aaron Rodgers, who's the greatest quarterback that's ever played football, and I feel comfortable saying that, and I hate Aaron Rodgers, and I hate the Packers. So if that's my opinion, you know how strongly I feel about his abilities. But the rest of that team sucks, and I'm not worried about Jimmy Graham and the Vikings win that game.
They're in a weird – they're like in the wild – like the hockey wild – position as far as where they are like contending. They still have a few veterans that make them seem like they're legitimate, but they're also — they got rid of Ted Thompson, they've got new guy, they're kind of rebuilding, but they're also, like you said, they still have Aaron Rodgers, so they're still good enough to hang around. So they're in that weird sort of purgatory of NFL, like not bad enough to get a high draft pick, but also
they
not,
can stay there forever. That's
not really good enough to compete. So So
do you think we win the division? I mean, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Okay.
There's no reason
Cousins gets hurt, we win the division.
That's a 50-50 for me, but I'll say that we probably will win. So wow, I'll go
all
with
of that. Us. Next one, real quickly, noon game at home, Buffalo Bills, week three.
That's a win.
I'm going with the Vikings. I think they start 3-0.
Yeah.
Week four, big time game, Thursday night football. They play at the Los Angeles Rams.
It's probably a loss.
I think that's a no.
I mean, it'd be great. If you win that one, we're going to be just feeling ourselves if we're winning that game.
The Rams have — they're going for it. They loaded up. They made some trades. They're definitely — they don't have a lot of picks this year. I think they only have like four or five left, but they definitely went all in. They pushed all in, and I think they're going to give us their best shot. You know, tough road game,
big
Thursday
game
night game.
Too. I mean, us coming in is like, hey, how good are we?
Not a good home field advantage, though. There'll be like half Vikings fans there.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. But if people are going to get more and more excited about that team. That's. I think I'm going to go with a loss.
I'll go with a loss. I think they'll lose one of week four and five. Week five with 10 days to prepare, we go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles, the defending champs. I think the Vikings win that game coming off of a loss against the Rams to go 4-1 in their first five.
I wonder who's going to be QB at that time. I know Wentz is like in a running program and he's rehabbing, but I wonder who they're going to have at QB at that time. I almost hope it's Wentz's first game.
Me too.
And then he's got to shake some rust off, and maybe he's, you know, back to 1,000% and looks great, but he also might look a little rusty. So I'm hoping
they might
play
him and like have to pull him and put Foles back in.
Yeah, and I think our quarterback coach, or I'm sorry, our offensive coordinator, D. Filippo.
Little inside info there.
He might have a couple of things that could help us against their quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with the loss on that one, though.
So you're 3-2. I'm 4-1.
Oh.
What do you have, Parker?
I'm going to go 3-2 as well.
All right. Let's pick the next two together. Home versus the Arizona Cardinals and at the New York Jets.
I think those are both wins. The Jets are going to be fucking abysmal. The Cardinals will be bad again.
I mean, we have the Teddy Bridgewater angle, but he might not even make the team at this point, based on what they're going to do. But I think those are two easy wins.
I think we're at six.
Oh, we got Sam Bradford and then Teddy Bridgewater back to back, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I think we're at 6-1.
I'm at 5, but yeah.
I think
that's great. If we're at 5-2, come on. I'm feeling good.
Big time game here. Sunday night football, New Orleans Saints coming back in a rematch at home. What do you think happens in that one?
I think we win again. I think Zimmer has seen the error of his ways, and I think he'll be ready to go. So I'll put us at 7-2 then.
I think we're going to win that game.
Yeah.
I have no fear of anyone in the NFL right now. Detroit Lions at home, week 9.
Smoke them.
That's a win.
I'm going to go with a loss. Why? A shocking
you
loss.
You think we lay an egg?
I think we lay an egg after a huge win against New Orleans. For some reason, Detroit has had our number the last few years, and even when we beat them, it's been great games. I'm picking one of our few losses to be that one.
Going so we're all at 8-2 then.
8-2. Bye week 10.
Let's talk about that real quick. It's fortuitous timing for a bye week.
Yes.
And it's not the latest, but it's also not the earliest. It's kind of right in the meaty part of the season, right before you try and make a stretch run to close out the playoff run.
So, I also don't think that the second half of our season is very difficult at all.
You know,
well, we play the Bears twice.
You know what's crazy is that you look at that and you think, oh, it looks easy. And last year we looked at the second half of the schedule like that is absolutely brutal, and we kind of ran the table. So
I know.
It all
these are this little prediction segment we do is tough.
We come back at Chicago Bears.
Win.
Yep.
We have a home game, Sunday Night Football, Green Bay Packers win. Green Bay sucks.
I think we're going to beat them twice?
Yeah, Packers fans are stupid and Green Bay sucks.
Okay, sweet. I like it.
Then we go to the New England Patriots.
For sure, loss.
I think it's a tough game. Yeah. I think we're probably a better team than the Patriots, but I think at New England is always really tough.
A better coach.
Tom Brady at home. Yeah, I think they're
better
just...
Better coach, better quarterback.
I think the home team wins that game. I'm going with New England. Yep, give us our third loss of the year. Here's one that for some reason stupid people think is a hard game. I think this team is bad. Monday Night Football at Seattle Seahawks.
No, I think we'll probably lose that game.
No, I think that's a win. That's a
shitty place to play.
They're rebuilding.
Yeah, they got rid of a lot of people. So I think we win that game.
I think we win. They're on full rebuild.
I'm going to go with the loss on that one.
I think Pete Carroll has got I think he's got 1 foot out the door. We should have beat them in that playoff game. I don't think they're not that scary.
No. Then we're home versus the Miami Dolphins. That team sucks. That's a win.
That should be a win.
That better be a win.
Then we're at the Detroit Lions. I said that they're tough. We will owe them at that point. That's a win. We're heading to the playoffs.
Why are you... I mean, your strategy is interesting. I like it. But it's weird and it doesn't make any sense and I don't like it.
Hey, we lost a home game to Detroit.
So we're going to split with them, but we're going to get beat at home and not away. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
And final game of the year, the Chicago Bears at home. That team sucks.
That's a win.
I think they're 13-3.
That's aggressive.
I know.
When I saw, preliminary over-under win totals that came out right as the schedule was released, and nobody was higher than 10.5, but the Vikings were in that group of the Patriots, the Eagles, I think the Steelers, and maybe the Rams were at 10.5 wins, and I was like, boy, we're very well respected by the bookies.
Taking the over.
It's scary to win 13 games with your backup QB, and then you sign a guy like Kirk Cousins, and you come in, and the expectations are through the roof. I would not be surprised, given the new personnel influx, we have a little struggle to start the season. I know I picked us to go 3-1, but I would also not be surprised if it got flipped the other way.
Mm-hmm.
With all the pressure, I mean, it's very difficult to integrate a new OC, a new QB, Dalvin Cook coming back off an injury. You don't know what you're going to get from him. And offensive line still not quite what we think it should be, where it should be for a championship caliber team. So it's the pressure's on, and we'll hopefully the Vikings rise to the occasion. But the schedule does look very favorable down the stretch after the bye week.
I mean, I have us at 12-4. And that's not pessimistic, man. That's optimistic as hell.
I think that's more realistic. 11-5, 12
realistic.
And 4.
Realistic. I still think it's optimistic.
I think 13 wins is
13-3.
I think 10 one is realistic. Seed. 11 is realistic.
I fear no one.
I love it.
And we shouldn't. There's no reason to fear anybody. Absolutely not. We're a great team.
Once the schedule came out, I felt better.
We're a better team this year than last year. Like a lot of teams are not happy.
Well, we're not playing
not in that situation.
Unless we have injuries.
We're not playing Carolina and at Atlanta and at Washington late. We're playing like the Jets and the Cardinals. And you got a rough 2-game stretch with New England and Seattle in there, but the Dolphins. Okay. Like none of these teams are that scary compared to last season.
No, there's a lot of wins. Buffalo, Arizona, the Jets, twice with the Lions, twice with the Bears, Seattle. Miami, I don't know. I think there's a lot of wins in that.
That's a lot. That should be a lot of wins.
Yeah. And also, some other big news, the Vikings re-signed Eric Kendricks, linebacker. I thought that was kind of a surprising move. 5 years, $50 million, $25 million guaranteed. It really was kind of a shocking re-sign to me.
Like good or bad or what?
But it's a perfect contract, though.
It makes me a little uncomfortable, to be honest with you.
$25 million. So, I mean, it could end up being $5 million a year for Eric Kendricks. That's not that scary.
Their idea is that it's going to be $10 million a year.
Sure.
For 5 years. A lot of money. That's one of the highest paid linebackers in the league. The only thing that makes me feel comfortable about it is obviously Mike Zimmer signed off on this. So obviously Mike Zimmer thinks that Eric Kendricks is totally worth it. He thinks that the reason that we have the number one rating in the league against running back receivers is because of Eric Kendricks. And that's the only thing that makes me feel like it's a good deal. There are a couple guys who still need to be signed. Trey Waynes, Stephon Diggs, Anthony Barr, and Danielle Hunter. I think that Barr is next. I think Hunter is after him. And I think Waynes and Diggs might be the odd men out.
Interesting.
Maybe. We still got lots of cap room. And I know we still got to sign, you know, all the rookies and stuff. But things
will... So you think Diggs is going to just command more money than we have at that time?
He should.
I think he's gonna take a lot of money. And I think he's really good. And I think that there's a lot of really good receivers that you can go find.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's too bad. No,
I mean, a lot, but I think he might be the guy who's left out.
All right, we'll see.
And he also may look at it as, why are you signing all these other guys and you haven't even talked to me? You know, and then he gets a chip on his shoulder and whatever. But I think there's no reason he can't be even better with Cousins at the helm. So if maybe he's the one saying, I want to play a season with Cousins, like a real QB, and see what I can get. Yeah. And then see where my contract lies. So all right. I would do the same if I was him.
Last piece of Vikings. The draft is this week, this Thursday. The Vikings are picking 30th in the draft. I have to tell you, I honestly believe that the Vikings will trade out of the first round in really boring fashion. They'll trade into the early second round with someone who wants to trade up and get an extra year of contract with someone, maybe a quarterback or some kind of big weapon.
There's that thing about if you draft them in the first round. Okay.
There's the team option for the fifth year. And so I think they'll move into the second. They'll acquire another draft pick. We're not to our 10 picks.
Is there going
to
be a quarterback that anybody would want left?
Maybe by the 30th? Maybe Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Maybe Mason Rudolph. Is that his name? Rudolph? I don't know. One of those two.
Yes.
The Oklahoma State quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think someone will want to move up and take one of those quarterbacks maybe late in the first round. I think we'll move into the second, which is always kind of anticlimactic after you watch for many hours. But there's a lot of guard depth in this draft, and I think offensive guard is going to be their number one priority. A lot of the drafts have them taking Will Hernandez, a guard from Texas El Paso. I don't see that happening. Spielman has always been a big college, big pedigree,
big program
high
guy.
School yeah. recruit. He loves the guys who are like five-star high school recruits who go to big programs. And so Will Hernandez doesn't make any sense to me. A guy who makes a lot of sense to me is Billy Price, center guard from Ohio State.
The hurt guy?
Yeah, he's hurt. He tore his pec. He should be healthy by like July. He's like elf line two.
Sure.
And I think taking him in the second round would be a great
perfectly
move.
boring-ass Vikings pick.
And maybe with his injury, he falls a little bit further even, and who knows. So
A lot of people have Mike McGlinchey, Notre Dame tackle.
That's who I've heard locally everyone loves.
He could play tackle or guard. Ceiling isn't super high, but I think floor is really high. I think like he's just going to be a good offensive lineman no matter what.
Just Johnny consistent.
He's just going to be good. He's not going to be great. He's going to be good.
We want durability, right? Yep. Did you start every game in your collegiate career? Perfect. Sign him up. Let's go.
That's where I would look. McGlinchey, maybe Connor Williams from Texas. He's been another name that they've been tossing around. Those are kind of the guys. I think Billy Price is the guy to look at. And then if you want a position that's not an offensive lineman, I think it's Josh Jackson or Jair Alexander, who are cornerbacks from Louisville and Iowa. And that would be the only other position I could imagine that they go in that first or early second.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm just going to defer to you, man. I have no idea who these people are.
Hey, let's break it down next week when we actually know who those
picks
are.
To talk about,
Last thing, Minnesota Wild.
R.I.P.
Yep.
Let's just bury him.
Throwing some dirt on top of their grave. It's over.
They didn't play well in that
More
series.
The same. They were outmatched.
The injuries,
they played terrible.
Whatever.
They just played garbage hockey overall. I mean, you go down 4-0, and even the 6-2, was that the one win we had? The Jets had all that flight snafu where they were stuck in Duluth, and then they'd go back and fly back in the morning, and they were
clearly... How much do you think the Wild paid for that to happen?
For the weather?
Yeah.
That's tinfoil hat right there.
That is,
Chuck Fletcher. I don't know. It was another Wild season. It was more of the same.
Yep.
Second round, don't matter.
Did the Wild bring everyone back?
I hope not,
but I know they will. Does Chuck Fletcher
come back? Hey, buddy.
Chuck Fletcher
Arsene come back? Wenger just stepped down. Anything can happen.
Yeah, I like hyperventilated.
And you know
insane.
What else? Dude, you're on a roll right now. All your hated coaches are dropping like flies.
You Tibbs? Tibbs is gone?
No, Tibbs is not gone. He's last. But you got your Gopher hockey.
Yeah.
Never thought that would happen.
Arsene Wenger.
Now you got Arsene Wenger.
Within like a month of one another.
Chuck Fletcher will be next and Tibbs will be after that.
And Tibbs is my next.
Of course, if we win the series, now you're like going to be pro Tibbs, right?
If we win the series, I will, in just stupid fashion, become pro Tibbs.
Right, because it would just
be... You're very fickle.
You just know that's not going to happen, so you can, yeah.
I will tell Tibbs to his face. He'll scream at me and, spit at me.
Yeah, that's just because that's how he talks.
Well, only if you're not rotating correctly.
Yeah,
he could be totally calm, and that's just how he speaks.
Yeah, he'll want us to rotate to another podcast.
Yeah.
I won't be ready to do that.
Rotar!
All right, guys. So RIP Wild. Go Wolves. Wolves in six, right?
Yeah. I'll be doing something. Dude, that's what everybody was chanting on the way out, and I just wanted to be like, no fucking chance. Hey. Or like, pigs will fly. Pigs. But yeah, people
like
were chanting
that.
The Wolves in six, man. It was hype downtown.
Buy,
it's crazy down there.
Buy in. Go with it.
Why not? Just why not?
Believe.
Clearly,
for
like
no
the players believe it's possible. They're playing like, like they're not just going to get sent home in a week.
Well, they're the ones that matter. So, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if they believe it and the crowd brings the noise like they did last time, let's go.
Yeah.
So
I like our chances to at least win game four.
Here's what we want. We want change with the Wild. I don't even care if it's Fletcher gone, but just change with the Wild.
Anything.
We want the Wolves in six and then just on their path to the Western Conference Finals. And we want the Twins to actually play some games in the United States where it's not snowing.
That'd be nice.
And we want the Vikings to draft a bunch of offensive linemen, maybe a few defensive linemen, and we'll say like a cornerback, a running back, and receiver, and we'll call it a day.
All right. That's a good plan,
man. Sounds like a good week.
Let's publish that.
Let's publish
I guess we
that.
Are
we'll
going to.
We'll put that out there. We'll put that out there for the public. So that's all the time we have this week with the Nordies podcast. We have two more episodes coming out this week, so make sure you check those out. And go Wolves.